This is the social program on Radio Islam International, and we're joined on the line by Maulana Ibrahim Abam. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam.
How is Maulana doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Allah has been very kind upon us, and Allah Ta'ala continue His favors upon us. Waj'alna shakirin li ni'matik. Oh Allah, make us among those who are grateful to you for your favors, praising you for your favors upon us and continue your favors upon us. One of the beautiful du'as which is in Hizbul Azam.
We should always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the different favors. The more a person will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more the favors increase. Maulana, the topic that we are discussing this morning on the social program, empathy for the heartbroken.
Yes, it is a very, very interesting and a very important subject given the situation that we find ourselves in. And I would like to start off by saying normally in the Urdu language they call this ta'ziyat. You know, we normally say when we go to a house where someone has suffered a loss, we say they're going for ta'ziyat. You know, I'm not sure if it's an Urdu word or is a Gujarati word, but I know it's definitely in Urdu. Gujarati perhaps, you know, we go to console, comfort and give solace to someone who is undergoing grief. The concept of ta'ziyah, especially at the time of someone's death, is one of consoling the bereaved with such words or action as will remove or lessen their grief. And the aim is to strengthen the brokenhearted and give them hope at a time when their hope might be waning. It is to lighten the load of the bereaved, to say or do things that augment or reawaken grief is not ta'ziyat, it is taklif. Now this has been very beautifully explained in a hadith in Mishkatul Masabi, where Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sahaba about the virtue of going to go and visit the sick. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person goes and visit the sick, then 70,000 malaika and angels make dua for him until he returns. In one hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person who goes and visit the sick, there is a distance of kharif, you know, between him and Jahannam. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out to go and explain the aspect of kharif, which is a considerable distance. So that is, of course, a virtue. But then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us how to go and visit the sick. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the best of visiting of the sick is that in which, it is a short visit. Unless the person who is sick asks you to stay, the best of visits to a sick person is a short visit. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you go and visit a sick person, always give him words of encouragement. Make dua for a long life for him, because that is what he wants to hear. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you might not change takdir, you might not change what's going to happen to him, but you will give him hope and you will give him encouragement. Now, in a similar manner, when we go for ta'ziyat, our intention should be, of course, to fulfill the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I will go on to make mention. But also together with that, it is such an important part of empathy with the heartbroken, empathy with those who are going through difficulty. And, you know, the rewards of it are tremendous. As I will go on to explain. So this is the introduction and what the program is all about. What I would like is that if anyone can maybe perhaps look at and tell us what are the situations wherein they find that they have spoken these words and it has made a difference in terms of the person who is suffering a loss or a difficulty.
We always love to hear from you, the listeners. 072-786-1548. Share with us any situation that you found yourself in. where perhaps you shared some words and it had an impact on someone, or perhaps you went through some difficulty or some sort of loss and someone consoled you, someone came to speak to you, someone came to comfort you. What is it that they've done? What are the actions or what are the words that they had spoken that's really left an impact on you? And as Maulana had mentioned, it's all about the words or the actions that we do that will comfort the broken heart. There's certainly great reward in that, Maulana.
Definitely. Now, we find a hadith in Bayhaqi that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, a Muslim who consoles another Muslim will be clothed with garments of honor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So a person who consoles his next Muslim person who has gone through a difficulty, Allah ta'ala will grant him a garment of honor on the day of Qiyamah. In one hadith, whoever consoles a bereaved mother will be dressed with special garments in paradise, which is in Tirmidhi Sharif. Whoever consoles an afflicted person will receive the same reward as the one who is going through the difficulty with sabr. So this is a very amazing aspect of our deen, which is so complete, and it gives us guidance in nearly every aspect, not in nearly every aspect of life. And, you know, it is something that we can learn from. It's very, very interesting with regard to what the ways and the examples and the reward for giving. When a Muslim is in difficulty, then when he bears it patiently, then Allah rewards him for his patience. From this hadith that we learn that one who consoles a person receives that same reward. Can you imagine? Subhanallah. The patient exercise bereaved person, and consequently the reward is obviously great. And the reward of someone who consoles the bereaved through the sunnah of ta'ziyat is also great.
Subhanallah, what a great reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in there, that if a person just comforts another person, if a person just says a few words or visits a person that is going through some sort of difficulty and that person bears patience, you are also receiving the same reward. And it's important, Maulana, that when people are going through some difficulty, to visit them, to share these words of kindness.
Definitely, and of course, what is important is to say the right words. I think it's such an important thing. One of the things that is always such an important point is to understand, and I think it's very important for us to get the right balance, because people have written, and of course, the Jamiat had a whole webinar on this whole particular aspect. One is to be there for the person who is grieving, you know. So what do you do? Be there for the person who is grieving. Pick up the phone, write a letter or an email or a message, call by or arrange to visit, right? So I think that is part of it. We must be available to them to be able to, you know. Sometimes we might take things for granted. There is a situation where, I'm just giving an example, they take their children to school on a regular basis. And because of the grief, they might not be able to pay attention to that. If you want to be of help, you can assist in that. So be of assistance in something that is practical, pragmatic. Maybe they need someone to go and do the grocery shopping. So be available for the person who is grieving. Pick up the phone, write a message, call, arrange a visit. Offer your assistance. So I think that is one of the aspects. Be there for the person who is going through difficulty. One of the things that the people do tell us is that encourage the person to talk. Encourage the person to speak. Many times when people speak, even if it is with regard to some memory of the deceased, it helps them lighten the burden. You know, we make mention of all this, but Mona, we always make dua, Allah Ta'ala never test us with regard to these things. But, you know, we make mention with regard to it that we can be of assistance to other people. So encourage people to talk. Even if they talk with regard to the memories of the deceased, it makes a big difference. I recall when we were studying, Hazrat Mona Yusuf bin Nur Rahmatullah Ali passed away. And his son, Mona Muhammad, for 1 or 2 days was like clamped up. He wasn't, you know, in speaking. He wasn't showing any, you know, apparent grief, etc. He was very, very disturbed. So one day, the people who were close to Maulana's family, they took him very late at night to the qabr, and he cried out, you know. And that made a difference to him because people were starting to see that it was impacting upon his health. So sometimes you need to encourage people with regard to letting out that particular grief. So I think it's a very important thing. How do we do that, you know, encourage the person to talk, even if it... And one of the beautiful things that I think I picked up from the webinar yesterday was, of course, we do know it, but of course it is something that we look into it so beautiful, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day went to his granddaughter who was on her deathbed. May Allah Ta'ala save our grandchildren from all types of difficulties. So when he went there, Nabi Karim saw him cradle the child in the lap and realizing that this is the last moment, and then he started crying, he started weeping. And when he started weeping, Sahaba looked at amazement. They looked at amazement at Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf said, Ya Rasulullah, you also? And now what we find from this is that perhaps, and of course it was like that, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did tell the Sahaba not to emulate the times of Jahiliyyat in mourning. And therefore there is a hadith that he who slaps his cheek, tear his clothes, and cries out loud and screams. Now that they used to do that in Jahiliyyah as the way of mourning, right? So maybe the Sahaba had that in mind, and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, yes, this is a rahmat and mercy Allah has kept in my heart. Inna rahma, inna al-ayna tadma. And then he, there were two occasions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to I think it was the daughter of Zainab, and of course at the time of his son Ibrahim, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed emotion and he cried, and he addressed his son, Ya Ibrahim, inna li firaqika la ma'azun. Oh Ibrahim, we are saddened by your departure. Inna al-ayna tadma, our eyes are tearing, wal qalb yahzun, and our heart is sad, but we will not say with our tongue anything which shows displeasure to the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes, you know, we must make the distinction and get the balance. What is wrong is that ceremonial type of mourning which Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But for the tearing to happen, for a person to cry, there is nothing wrong, and one shouldn't unnecessarily put a stop to that.
Yeah, so it's about comforting the person about what we say, and also allowing that person to grieve as well. That, as you mentioned, that you cannot control what the heart feels, the tears will flow, but we should be very careful as to what words we do utter. To the listeners, send through your messages, 072-786-1548. Mulana, early on you mentioned on that point that you know, part of empathy is to encourage people to speak, and also work on listening to people without interrupting when you go and visit or when you want to comfort people. Part of it is also to be able to listen without interrupting and give them that ear so that they can speak about their experiences, and this helps them overcome that.
One of the things is create an environment in which the bereaved person can be themselves and show their feelings, rather than them having to put on a front. What an amazing thing, you know. Create an environment in which the bereaved person can be themselves and show their feelings, rather than having to put on a front. So create the right type of environment, which is such an important thing that we have to keep in mind. So there are certain things that we know. It's such a beautiful religion. Our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu lost his son, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote him a letter. And Nabi Karim, let me read that letter, and then we'll take out some of the benefits and some of the lessons that we get from that particular type of letter. Inna lillahi ma akhadha wa lahu ma ata. One of the things that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, that the one who has taken is the one who has given it to you in the very first instance. O Mu'adh, inna lillahi ma akhadha wa lahu ma ata. Subhanallah. What a beautiful aspect that we learn, that how Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we learn is some of the lessons that come out of that letter that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote to Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And one of them was our lives, our kith and kin, and our property are a trust which Allah Ta'ala has given to us for us to benefit till He likes, till the time allotted, and He takes it back. You know, what a beautiful example someone has given is like a rented car. So you take a rented car, and you like the rented car. And when the time comes to give it back, you have rented it for 2-3 days, and the time comes to give it back, you don't want to give it back. People say, but it was a rented car. You're only supposed to benefit from it. So while you're there, you utilize it correctly, and you don't, you know, rake up fines, or you don't do anything, and the time to give it back, you can give it back. You don't get you don't get sad about it, because it's supposed to be like that. So that is a way of doing it. And in this particular regard, you know, there's this most beautiful article that has been written, and if anyone does a Google search with regard to it, they will find it by Hazrat Mawlana Salim Doracha, where he spoke about the Sunnah method of consoling the bereaved. And one of the things that I found so beautiful, that he says that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that at the time of my father's death, a Badu, a villager, was able to console me as no one had been able to console me. And he recited a poem. The last part of that poem was, better for you than Abbas is the reward you will receive after him. And what a beautiful other aspect. And Allah is better for Abbas than you. So Abdullah ibn Abbas said that no words gave me more encouragement and gave me more solace than this poem which the Badu recited. Better for you than Abbas is a reward that you will receive. And Allah is better than you for Abbas. Now there is a dua that is also among the Masnoon duas to be recited at the time of Janaza. Allahumma abdilhu daran khayran min dari wa ahlan khayran min ahli. Oh Allah, give him a better house than the house that he has left behind, a better abode than the abode that he has left behind, a better family than he has left behind, because Allah Ta'ala will give him a better companionship there. So it is a dua that has been recited. So subhanallah, so these are the type of words that we are supposed to give in consolation to the person who is bereaved.
There's a few messages that have come through. The one saying that when my mom passed away after a severe illness, a friend that was very close to me said to me that Allah has mercifully taken her cleanse. Truly, Jannatul Firdaus awaits her. And she said that when my dad passed away after a prolonged illness, I was told there is no more suffering or pain for him. I found these statements so reassuring, and it helped me with comfort.
Yes, I think it's important. You know, sometimes it's small things that happen that you never, you forget. It becomes, it can be a small, thing. When my father, marhum father, passed away, I was in a qabr, and I came out of the qabr. There was a marhum Sam Garg that just caught hold of me. I don't know why. I always remember it. I was close to him, but not, perhaps not that close as many other family members. But as I came out, he was the first one who hugged me. So I still remember that. So sometimes there might be a small thing that happens, and you remember it. So someone might tell you, you never regard anything that you tell someone at the time of bereavement as something that is, minor.
Mm. And I see there's a few more messages that have come through in the same way, that sometimes it's just the small actions or the small words that people say. One saying, when my dad passed away, the support that we received from his friends was worth more than anything in this world. Their kind words, their small gestures, and just giving us their time and the game and the shared memories, this meant so much to us, and it helped us get over that difficult period.
And if there is anything that you have told people that has made a difference, by all means, I think it's important for us to make mention with regard to it.
Malala, before that, we were speaking about the letter that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
said. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whatever Allah has given us is a temporary trust which Allah has given to us. We benefit from it till He wants, and then it is in the hands of Allah. We always make dua. Oh Allah, not let us see the difficulty of our children. That we must be benefit from them right till the end of our life. You know, maybe that is something that we should always. So he continued. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Your son was a trust of Allah. He kept you blessed with him till he liked, and when he desired, he took it away from you in return for a great recompense, provided you keep yourself contented with the will of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Mu'adh, do not show impatience. If you show impatience, you will lose your recompense or reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So I think these are some of the things that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So I think it's important that we keep this in mind. One of the things is that contact the person at the times when he is likely to think of the person. Now, I know the masla, that it's not compulsory for you to go to a person at the time of Eid when someone has passed on. It's definitely not compulsory. It's definitely not part of the sunnah. But it's just a natural thing that at the time of Eid, people will remember the dear ones. They will remember the deceased. So you might not make a formal visit, but I mean just a word of encouragement. What is wrong with regard to that? Not making it part of deen, but because they are likely to think about the person, if you go and say a few words at such a time, or you go and contact the person when he is most likely to think about the person, it is something that could be done. And part of doing that is to give people encouragement. So what do you give? How do you give encouragement? There are various ways of giving encouragement.
There's a few more messages that have come through. Malala, there's one that speaks about, you know, visiting the sick. Earlier on, we mentioned some of the virtues of that. And when we go there, we should speak words of encouragement. A listener wants to know that they're a very soft-hearted person, and the moment they see any sick person, you know, they break down and they start crying. A situation like that, they feel sometimes it could make the sick person feel more uncomfortable. So what should they do in that situation?
It's a difficult thing. Maybe perhaps at least if you can, don't cry in front of the sick person. I mean cry maybe before or after, but I think it is something that we can look at that. But think about it. I think if you do cry in front of the sick person, you might make it difficult, but at the end of the day, let's face it, you can't control your emotions. If you cry and you just hug the person, I don't know how it will be taken, but if possible, try and be in such a way that you give encouragement, and sometimes by crying, if you can control it by crying before or after the event, it might be perhaps better. I'm not sure how people will look at it, but it is the way I will look at it.
Ma, there's a few more messages that have come through, and one saying that what really helped me was that a few years back my husband had passed away, and the community in Mayfair and also some of the family members and friends made it so much easier for me by helping, and also throughout my iddah period they were there to help and assist me, and this made it so much easier for me to get through that ordeal.
MashaAllah, I think these are some of the things we can give. You know, we belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ruh is in our body as a loan. The journey of the ruh is an ongoing journey. If, for example, someone comes to visit you, he's coming from Lens, he's coming to George Fordsburg, and from Fordsburg he's going to Lodium is going to Wombas. I'm giving my example. So if he comes here, and from here he's going to Lodium, you're not going to feel hurtful, because it's an ongoing journey which they're doing. So our ruh is got an ongoing journey. It started off at the time of Alastu bi Rabbikum, when Allah Ta'ala created the ruh, and Allah Ta'ala took a commitment from the entire ruh that will you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And everyone said, yes. Then Allah Ta'ala kept it in a particular place. Then it was returned to our body when we were born, or not at the time we were born, when we were in the mother's womb. Then we came into this world. After we go out, there's one hadith which Hazrat Mu'athani Rahmatullah Ali has written in Shauq al-Watan, that when a person, after his death, his ghusl is being given, the ruh stands at a distance. The malaika takes the ruh away from it, because there is no ruh left, there is no soul left in the body. And then the malaika make the ruh listen to what the people are saying about him. Subhanallah. And if you are a good person, then obviously what will happen is people will talk good about you, and the malaika will make you listen to that. Make your ruh listen to it. Subhanallah, what an amazing thing. So I think these are some of the things. And one of the things that we can learn is how Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha that, after her husband passed away, she said, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me to read this dua, Allahumma jurni fi musibati wa khluf li khayran minha. Oh Allah, reward me in my difficulty and give me something better than what you have taken. Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me this dua, I used to read it. And I used to say, who's going to be a better husband than Abu Salma? Abu Salma was such a good husband to me. Who's going to be a better husband? But yet I read it because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told me to read it. Until Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself proposed to me, and I became among the Ummul Mu'mineen. Subhanallah, look at how they dua. So you tell, you give people duas, and these are the type of things that we are supposed to do. One of the things I think we should also spend some time is what we are not supposed to tell people. I think this is very important. I don't know if anyone has this type of situation, but what are we not supposed to tell people?
Yeah, it's important. Our words do play a big role, and our words can have an impact on how the person is feeling. If we share with them some positive words or some encouragement, that makes them feel better. It might lighten the burden. But at the same time, if we say something that is wrong or something that could be hurtful, it could make the situation much worse. And I think it was earlier on, Molana, there was something that had come up on the screen where someone said that they had gone through a divorce, and someone told them that what you worried about, that there's so many other people out there, and they say that didn't gel well with the feeling of that time. It's not something that should have been said at that time.
Can you say that? I didn't get that.
Ma, they say that they went through a divorce, and someone came to console them, and they told him, what are you worried about, that person, your ex? There's so many people out there, and you'll get married again. And they say they were going through a difficult period, so it wasn't the right time for a person to say that.
Yeah, it's something that Mufti Taqi Sahib had a long grieving on his father's demise. After all, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, I think it is Mufti Rafi Sahib who wrote, or is it Mufti Taqi Sahib who wrote, Mere Walid, Mere Sheikh, my father, my Sheikh, subhanallah. Mm-hmm. So he said, Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mu'ana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's, letter helped him a lot, and Dr. Abdullah Arafi Rahmatullah Ali consoled him how to manage. And this is a very interesting thing. Mufti Taqi Sahib says that he was so engrossed by his father, he so admired his father, because his father was not only a father, he was a Grand Mufti of Pakistan. But he wanted to become bear to his father. He wanted to pledge allegiance in tasawwuf to his father. And his father said no. So he said, why? So his father said an amazing thing. He said, oh my son, father-son relationship is such that there is a certain degree of informality. It does not give into the type of relationship that is required between Sheikh and a murid. Subhanallah, what beautiful things that our Kabir taught us. And Mufti Taqi Usmani, while he is being so, in terms of being in Islamic finance and all those type of things, that we underestimate his spiritual role. His spiritual progress, which is very, very high. It's very, very high. And unfortunately, those who talk, disparagingly about such a great people, Allah Ta'ala, make it easy for them, really. Anyway, one of the things that is such a thing, he says that my father then told me to go and become back to Dr. Abdullah Arafi. And Dr. Abdullah Arafi, rahmatullah alayhi, counseled me how to manage after my father passed away.
There's a few more messages that have come through. And this week on the social program, we are speaking about empathy for the broken hearts, that when someone is going through a difficulty, when someone has gone through a loss, you should be there to comfort them. You should be there to support them, help them go through that difficult period. Maulana, in terms of, you know, words that shouldn't be said, or words that can be difficult to hear, a message has come through from a sister saying that when she was widowed, many people came home and they told her that, you know what, as time passes, it's not going to get easier, it's going to get harder. And she said that just broke her heart, that, you know, how can people say something like that?
I really, Jazakallah so much for all these messages. It's just adding value to our discussion. But one of the things that I have to tell someone is that I know that people like to tell people, I know what you are going through, right? I wonder if that is the right thing to say. I think we must be careful. We must avoid telling people, I know what you are going through. We don't know what they are going through. That's the reality. To say that I know what you are going through is not, even if you had a similar pain, your experience and their experience is not the same. To say you had a similar set and type of difficulty, it's not the same. So I think we need to be so careful by making that type of remark that, I know what you are going through. Really, to be honest, we don't know what they are going through. And that particular point, which is sometimes said in such a way that, I can understand what people do and why people say that. They say it out of an aspect of goodness. They say it because they would like to be helpful. But personally, I'm not sure that it is the right thing to say. Stay away from that. I know what you are going through, perhaps. So. And I think that point, which someone has made mention, it's such an important thing that everyone has their own time frame to get out of the situation. Right? So everyone has got their own time frame with regard to the situation that they find themselves in. So rather create the right environment and support for the person to move on than to tell them it's time to move on. Ya Allah, how can you tell someone who is grieving that it's time to move on? You know, it's not like something that is like a switch button on and off. Yeah. I'm going to move on now. I mean, how can you tell someone like that? So to tell someone to move on, it's time you move on, man. You can't continue grieving. You can't tell someone like that because everyone has their own time frame. So create the right environment for them to move on rather than telling them to move on. I think it's just such an amazing thing. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. You know, the right type of words are so important. There's a hadith which is in Mishkatul Masabi. Just to give you an example, what you can say. So there was a person who used to come in our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's company, and he used to bring his son. You know, and once he came and the son was not there, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what has happened to your son? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, he was very, very emotional. My son has passed on. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I know that you would have loved to be part of your son's life. But is that better, or is it better that your son would be waiting for you in one of the gates of Jannah? Subhanallah, what a beautiful way of telling someone something. And then the man asked, Ya Rasulullah, is this specifically to me or is it general to the Ummah? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's general to the Ummah. Subhanallah. So say these type of things. Don't go and tell them, when are you going to move on? You can't be forever in this grief. You don't say that. What you do is you create the right environment and support for the person to move on.
And there's so many messages that have come through here saying about what people shouldn't say, and I'll just try and go through a few of them. The one saying that when someone's parents pass away, I've heard many times people say to them that now your doors of dua are closed, and I think that this is something that shouldn't be said to them.
Yeah, I understand that. It is maybe perhaps a way, but it can also perhaps alert them to the fact, and this is the fact of the matter. We sometimes take the parents' du'as for granted while they are alive. Mm. So it is something that we need to be careful the way we say it, but it is an aspect that people need to be extra careful now that the du'as are not there. So, but I do agree that maybe it is the way that you put it forward, maybe put it in a positive light by saying that, you know how much du'as your parents used to make for you, subhanAllah. What a pity. I'm thinking about it. I went to go and visit once a person who was sick. You know, we normally say that may Allah Ta'ala wipe away your sins. So he told me, that rather say may Allah Ta'ala elevate your status.
Mm.
No, it's the same thing. Look at the way you put it forward. Instead of saying, may Allah Ta'ala wipe away your sins through the means of this, you say you can't make that dua when you're in silent, but when you speak to the person, rather say, Allah Ta'ala elevate your status. So maybe telling, instead of telling the person your duas, your parents' duas are no more, maybe put it in a positive light. You know how much duas your parents used to make for you when they were alive? SubhanAllah. That puts it in a better light, I suppose. JazakAllah for bringing that point. It is something that I also sometimes have been struggling with, and maybe, in fact, you won't believe it, Maulana, Allah Ta'ala inspire us to the means of one another. This point came right now. You know, it just came in. You know, I'm not such a buzruf that I get ilham, but you never know, you know.
Vaad, there's just a few minutes left on the program. Is there anything else Ma wants to add on?
Yes, you know, it's such an amazing thing. I mean, I must say that Ma, when you told me yesterday what should I do and what should I speak on, I don't know, this thing came to my mind because the Jamiat had this webinar, and really, if people who are interested, please send me a message. I will try and get the recording of these two. Inshallah, we will do today's program also. And anyone who would like to get today's program on podcast, please do message me. Otherwise, we'll put it up on our social media account. I think it will be of benefit to many people, including myself. One of the things that is very important, because people have different grievings, you don't have the right to tell people that you got weak iman. I mean, what gives you that right to tell people you got weak iman because they are grieving in a way that you are not accustomed to, or you don't know with regard to it? People grieve in different ways. So don't form judgments on the way people grieve. I think it's such an important point that we have to keep in mind.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
And these are some of the things that we can, but at the end of the day, be there for people, encourage people. One of the things which I think is such an important, I think there is tons of wisdom in every statement of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But one of the statements of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when I read it, I said, Ya Allah, you know, we talk about people going to psychiatrists and psychologists and going to counselors. You know, this one statement of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't ever say if. If opens the door of shaitan. Don't say if I had done so, if I had taken him to the hospital early, if I had taken this medication, if I had taken him to this doctor, if I had been there early for them. Don't say if. Because rather say qaddar Allahu ma sha, whatever Allah has destined, it happened. I couldn't stop it. But don't say if. Or if opens up the door of shaitan. SubhanAllah. These are some of the things that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us what to say. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq really of making amal. It's such an important topic, and I hope inshallah I have benefited from what the people have said, and I hope inshallah people have benefited from what I have said. May Allah Ta'ala make it a means of good. Inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Maulana, for joining us this morning on the program, and we look forward to having you on next week, inshallah.
Inshallah,
jazakum Allah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Maulana Ibrahim Bahmud. This week's program, the social program, we discuss empathy for the broken heart, the virtue of comforting someone, that if you visit someone that is going through a difficulty and that person is bearing patience and you are there to support them or help them, share kind with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will give you your share of reward as well. The words that we say are very important. Always give words of encouragement, speak positive speak on the positives of the person that has passed away, or so on and so on, and try to avoid anything that will make it more difficult for that people. To try to avoid saying things that are going to make it much more difficult for that people to get through that that period. The podcast of the program will be available later on our SoundCloud account, and it will be circulated on our different social media handles. Inshallah, that will be later this morning or in the early afternoon. With that, we come to the end of the program this week. There's still lots to look forward to on Radio Islam International throughout the day. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning, inshallah. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.